Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate everybody out there watching. And we know there's a lot of you out there on a Wednesday night. So we appreciate that you're with us and praying and believing God for this. This is the greatest revival that the world has ever seen that we're about to see and be a part of. And hallelujah. I'm just glad that I'm alive at this time in history. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people wonder and they say, well, the proof is in the pudding. We're going to give them the proof and the pudding soon. Hallelujah. We're going to serve up both of them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So get a good seat and stay fastened real tight. Hallelujah. Congratulations to Rex and Marcia. They just celebrated a wedding anniversary at the end of December. Congratulations. I appreciate that. And praise God for wonderful leadership in the house. What's that wonderful Sunday with Gary? It was so, so great. We appreciate Gary. I'm not sure. He's probably with us. If he's not, he'll be with us later, he and Sue. But if they are or when they are watching, they're so appreciated. And part that was
Sunday, right?
Yeah, part two this Sunday. Amen. I'm game. It's not a problem, you know. I don't have anything to prove. I mean, I'm just, you know, I just work here and just, you know, I just, hallelujah. Part two is fine with me. Actually, you know, I was thinking, man, it's been since December 22nd since I actually stood in this pulpit to preach. It's been going on 3 weeks. I'm like, I don't know if I got fired or, you know, I better come do something, you know. So somebody said, man, if you're drawing a paycheck from the church, you better be doing something, you know. What's up? Yeah, man. So, yeah, hallelujah. So I'm glad to be back. Yeah, there was, you know, Christmas. We were, well, there's two Wednesday nights. We're off, Christmas and New Year's. And then Homer did one Sunday and Gary did another one. I was like, you know what? I probably need to get back. It would help. Hallelujah. So Jim and Kathy are going to be here the 12th. And so we're excited about that. And so praise God, it'll be a Wednesday night, and then they'll skip over to Sunday and go through the following Wednesday. And they won't leave till Friday, but they'll be, you know, here around all week. So praise God, we're excited about them coming. And he texted me yesterday, he goes, do you need anything, you know, for us to bring anything? I said, no, just a couple of our best friends. And then he said, well, yeah, but if you think of anything, I said, well, bring snow.
Yeah.
But I don't think they can do that, Vladdy. I don't know. I'm not sure how they can do that. So he said, we got plenty of it. And so anyway, praise God. Well, one of the things I just mentioned, you guys probably, most of you know, those of you follow us online, you know, Harry does something along with what has been, you know, we've been doing, of course, posting the services for years. And now he also does another part where he just condenses down to the sermon where people can catch that. So a lot of times people can't follow the whole service, but, you know, so you've got two options there. You can catch just the sermon and or you can have the whole service. Now, I have a lot of people that, or some people that say, you know, especially some people overseas in different places, they say, we you know, they're so void of anything. They're like, we love the worship. They said they've told me before, we love the greeting. We love to see, you know, I mean, we love to be in a part of the service. So I think we'll never stop having. And besides for that, some of the greatest things happen in you know, in the beginning of the service. Prophecy, a lot of powerful prophecies happen, not during the sermon part, but during the, and you know, so anyway, however you want to do that, but there's a lot there to be desired either way. So, or to be, you know, you can have as far as the beneficial part of it. Hallelujah. Great message, as I said, Sunday. Let's just pray for a moment and praise God. We love you, Jesus. We're so thankful for this opportunity. Jesus, I see you once again, high and lifted up, but standing right in our midst. You're always Lord. And I thank you for the accompaniment of your angels, the presence of Holy Spirit. Lord, we do nothing of ourselves, but all things that we do because we hear and see the Father. We love you, Jesus. Give us grace during this time. We pray that your people will be edified, that they will grow, and that, Lord, that you will speak to them concerning the things that are being spoken, and the grace of God will cause all of us to go to another level of understanding in our walk and the empowerment of our walk towards the revival. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate all of you, being here as often as you can. And I love it that Rex and Marsha have gotten closer. As I said Sunday, I was kind of joking, but not so much, that people, don't go too far. And we've got people living in Fort Myers that drive over and make the sacrifice and appreciate that. And a lot in his family, they live towards Naples, but they're making it all the time, and so we appreciate the people coming, because I'll tell you, we're going to need everybody possible. And one of the things that we're going to need more than anything else is we're going to need people that are ready to disciple other people. And if there's ever a real concern of mine is that not the crowds. I can, thank God, I can preach anointed messages by the grace of God to whoever's here. I don't need that, but we need people that are faithful, because believe me, there's coming a time where we're going to have so many people that it's going to be hard to disciple them all. It really is. And I just need people to be faithful. And if Pastor Bronk, am I going to be used? You're absolutely going to be used. Laying hands on the sick and discipling people and people being turned over to your care and say, take these through a discipleship program, checking on these people and doing part in their spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Let's talk about... the message title tonight has a lot to do with a message title that I shared a couple of weeks ago. I say a couple of weeks ago. It was just before Christmas. But this message title is called Crossing Jordan into Another Dimension. I think I sent out some notes, Crossing Jordan in Another Dimension, and I changed it at the last, so any of you that may have the other, it doesn't change the message at all. But Crossing Jordan into Another Dimension, and the last message I preached was December the 22nd. I said, and the title of that message was Crossing into 2025. So this is going to have some things that in the beginning part of it to discuss and talk about, just to get us ready for the message tonight. And let me say this, let me just read my notes, because that'll be the best part, or the best thing for me to do, so I can really make sure I get through this, and I'm sure that I can in adequate time. But in that message, on that particular, I believe it was on a Sunday, December 22nd? No, because yes, it was. So on that Sunday, crossing into 2025, I shared a vision that I had. It was a reoccurring vision. It wasn't an open vision. If I ever see an open vision, I'll distinguish it between that and inner vision. But whether it's open or internal, it's very real. And so for a matter of days, I began to see something. And as I was praying and as I was seeking the Lord, and the Lord would come to me or give me an internal vision, and I explained that vision of what I saw, And I said this, in this message, that was the one on December 22nd, in this message, Joshua's army and Joel's army became one army to cross Jordan into the promised land of revival. So we've got two armies combining as one, and I'll say some more. As I said then, Joel's army is always the one that we talk about, the army of the Latter-day, you know, the Latter-day Church, where that it's not just one doing the ministry. I thank God for the Catherine Kuhlmans and the Maria Woodworth Edders, the Dave Robersons. The crowds would flock to see them minister, and we received from them. But Joel's army is an army, as Gary shared Sunday, which was so wonderful, it's an army of locusts. And he distinguished between, as he said, the present tense meanings of when that prophecy was made, and also the futuristic church that would come. And the church would be a Joel's army that would be an invading force. Joel says they climb through the windows. They run on the walls. It's like you can't get away from them. It's infectious. It's powerful. It's a glory that covers the earth, and God uses people as an invading force. And it's a spiritual force because it's the same chapter that Peter in Acts chapter 2 reverts back to and says, this is that which Joel spoke. So we know it's qualified in the New Testament as a spiritual army. But also we made mention of, and I know I'll have to read this paragraph all the way through because I'm kind of exhorting in the middle of it. We also said this, that what I saw was there was a combination of Joel's army, which was the last church army, the revivalist, and Joshua's army, which was also a conquering army. But the thing about Joshua's army was this, that there was a transition from Moses to Joshua. Joshua starts out, chapter 1, Moses, God meets with Joshua and says this, Moses, my servant, is dead. And that wasn't an announcement because Joshua really already knew that, but it was also telling him this, the old is past and the new begins now. And so the old was the wandering in the wilderness, and the purging of sin, doubt, cowardice, those that could not possess. God led them right up 40 years earlier, and they went in. They said, we can't do this. Two came back, Joshua and Caleb, and said, oh, yeah, we can. And God said, okay, but you've rejected me. And they said, oh, no, we'll do it. And Moses said, no, God said, you can't do it. And they said, they went and tried, but they couldn't do it. And God said, you know, I didn't go back and read, but I think it's 20 years up or 20 years down. 20 years old and older, you know, everybody, that's the cutoff, everybody dies. So you're glad if you're 19 and a half, so you get to see the promised land. But anyway, that's the old, and they were purged. But the amazing part is this, and I'm not trying to make this complicated, it was very simple, was this, these two armies met together in a spiritual sense, because the old would pass, the purging process. And what I saw, which was so amazing to me in my spirit, I saw these two armies, and the Lord said to me, I don't know how he said it, I just knew it was revelation. He said, this one army, as they're crossing Jordan and leaving that side of Jordan, is also connected with Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And I'm just saying this to remind you that the 5.5 chapters of the book of Ephesians, and I actually read that particular letter once again, and I won't go back into that, but I wrote a summation of a series that I did in 2021 And that series was The War in Two Parts. And in that, the Lord had us, it was several lessons, and in that, the Lord had us go through. And I was able to show, the Lord showed me, and I was able to show, I believe, the body of Christ emphatically that the first five and a half, roughly, chapters of a six-chapter book of Ephesians was all about the changes necessary to bring you up to one verse and one word, which is in chapter 6, verse 10, and it's the word finally. And the word finally is not a salutation word. It's not like, okay, I'm just saying goodbye at the end of this letter. The word finally is you're finally qualified to do what I'm about to tell you. Finally, put on the whole armor of God. Because in the five and a half chapters leading up to this, there's all the do's and the don'ts. Don't do this. Don't fornicate. Don't steal. Love one another. Put on the new man. Put on, honor your father and mother. Husbands, love your wives. On and on. In fact, I think there was like, we listed, not an exhaustive list, but like 41 different do's and don'ts. Don't do this, do this. And by the time you get to the sixth chapter, you get an announcement, finally. Finally what? Finally, you're equipped. And so what I saw in the Spirit was that this one army was finally stepping up a bank, an embankment. Hey, by the way, Harry does a real good job with those shorts. I don't know if you've seen that one that he did. I didn't know it. I rarely check the website. Somebody told me there was a really good short on there, and I go, wow, I need to go look at it. And I thought it was good. But when this army starts up, when Joshua's army, according to Joshua, now we got Joshua and Joel, when Joshua's army starts up, they're finally ready to do what? Face the enemy. To face Jericho, Ai, to go into the land. Now they're doing spiritual warfare. And we equivocated, or what we said was this, all that side of the wilderness was dying to the flesh. It was the war, the part of that war, the two-part war was this. This is the war with the flesh, dying. And as Gary said Sunday, and as you've heard me repeat many times, we'll always be dying to the flesh or standing in a place of the necessity of mortification. But there comes a place where mortification has had a sufficient work to grow you up to where you're able to go up the embankment and say, look, that's past. Living a mediocre life and sometimes living in the world and out of the world, that's absolutely not positionally, but actually, that's no longer who I am. And I'm finally ready to go to Ai, Jericho, if you read Joshua, there's one chapter in there, it lists on this side of the, not counting those kings, there was a lot of kings destroyed on that side of the Jordan, but there's like 31 different kings that they go into destroy. It's not just, and you might say devil after devil. So they're finally ready. So in that vision, in that, I think it three or four times it came up, I saw this army crossing, and it was like the water I saw was Ephesians chapter 6. Or, five chapters or five and a half chapters, and in Ephesians chapter 6, they were coming up. Now, the Lord just recently, as I was praying these past several days, the Lord began to add to that. And I wasn't even trying to go back and recreate that, but let me read this paragraph all the way through, because I've kind of explained where we were up to this point. And this message, that message, then Joshua's army and Joel's army become one army to cross Jordan into the promised land of revival. The five and a half chapters of the book of Ephesians are the wilderness wanderings and the purging of the body of Christ. The moment that Israel crosses Jordan is the defining moment of Ephesians 6, verse 10, the word finally. But I'll just read it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I read, as I said, the November
2021 teaching letter, The War in Two Parts. Can you imagine? It doesn't seem like that it's been 2021, does it? Man, dear Lord. Sunday I'll be 65. I know that I don't believe that. But before long, you'll be as old as I am. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, yeah, you will. Huh? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, you can. Absolutely. Because I'm telling you, time is like, whoa, it's going like crazy. As I've continued to pray and meditate and hear the recent teachings of, and I'll name these, By His Stripes by Homer, and The Year of Believing by Gary, another image began to appear in my spirit. The crossing of Jordan is not just a crossing from flesh to spirit, as in the war of the flesh to the conquering war against principalities. It's not just that. So I saw another image. Okay, so here we go. The war of the flesh. Now it's a war with demons. Okay, but that's exciting, because it used to be demons had flesh to work with. Now you rob them of gasoline to work with. Now it's a real mono-mono. I mean, it's a one-on-one fight. And you've got the authority of Christ. And they don't have the vehicles to twist and turn like they used to. Now you get a lot more punch. I mean, when you punch, used to your punch didn't, you bark at them and they just slap you, and you're just like, you go into a depression for two months. And once you come through that, there's a vacate of the flesh, and now you're formidable. You're very formidable. You can fight and speak. But there's another image too that I saw in this as I begin to pray. So it's not just, which is wonderful, an eradication, a purging of the flesh that makes you where you can speak and something happens. But also the crossing of Jordan is not just that, but it's also this. This is what I saw part of, and I'll continue to explain as I read my notes. It's also a transitional war from one realm or dimension into another, as in specifically, let's get specific, in the healing of the physical body. The healing of the physical body. And I think I give credit to those sermons I just recently heard, and I thought Homer's was really good. Joshua's army must be healed for the coming outpouring. We must be. Not just for a testimony that the healers are healed. How many of you believe that the healers ought to be healed? Amen. They ought to be, really. Praise God that we can pray for somebody in infirmity, but the healers ought to be healed. They really ought to be healed. But even more importantly, that the physical bodies do not impede the conquering process. We don't want our physical bodies impeding the harvest process. Hallelujah. And believe me, this doesn't, you got to hear this from a faith standpoint, because many of you might be struggling. I mean, I've been fighting some things in my body even recently. Nobody's perfect in where we're at, but I'm telling you, we've got to receive this in faith and say, look, this is coming. It's here among us, and we've got to believe for it, because the healers must be healed. The physical bodies cannot, and as I said, I put it this way, but even more importantly, the physical bodies do not impede the conquering process. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Psalms 105, verse 37, and this you don't have to turn there, but you can, as I mentioned these. But can he change a whole nation And when I say a nation, I'm talking about a whole church, a whole praying church, not just a congregation, but revivalists. Can he have an effect like in one sweeping move in power? Can everybody get basically healed of impediments, things that will keep you? Like if he says go and you say, I want to go, but I can't get up. You know, there's some people that they just can't go. Revivalists that are revivalists are believing, we're believing that the healers are healed, but also that there's nothing to keep us from saying, yay, Lord, let's go. I can do this. And can he do that? He's done it before in the Old Testament. It says concerning Psalms 105, 37 says, he brought them, this is talking about Israel, he brought them, the entire nation, forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble, or you could put sick, because this would translate sick person among their tribes. Now, that's just supernatural right there. I don't know how many there was. Some scholars say 1.5 million, 2 million. I don't know. But wherever you were prior to leaving, when you started to leave, there was, I don't know if it happened to the Passover that night, but something passed over those people. They got healed. The old were not old anymore. The hitch and giddy-ups left. Everybody could walk. Nobody had to be wheeled in a wheelchair. There was no sickness. The feeble. It wasn't until they got way out in the wilderness and years later and rebelled against God, said, I got, you know, okay. So, but bringing them out, their eyesight got healed. Cavities got healed. The arthritis in their legs and feet. Grandma, you walk. We've walked 20 miles today, and you've stayed up with everybody. Everybody got healed. There was no feeble among them. That's amazing to me. So if God can do that in the Old Testament, can he not do this in this administration, in Christ's house, the administration of Christ, excuse me? Hallelujah. This army, his army, you and I, this will be our strength, as Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord, blueprint prophecies, shall eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they will walk and not faint. This army will not be limited to virtual ministry alone. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wasn't that great that Gary was here Sunday? And Gary and I and Alan, we do Brazil. We got a Brazil conference coming up in March. Sometimes Gary and I do something in Sydney, Australia together. And Gary does stuff, or was doing stuff in India. And we do, you know, virtual things. And some of you will minister, you know, on whatever. But I'm telling you, in this army, the crossing, what I saw also, this crossing was not just like, okay, we're free from the flesh. But there was a healing that took place in this army as well. And we came out on the other side. The revivalists came out on the other side. And their bodies were changed. And just specifically, I mean, thank God for virtual. But we got to be to a place where whoever we are, no matter what your physical condition is, he wants you healed. Well, I want you to go over there and do this. that state or that country. Fine, can I FaceTime them? No. Can I Zoom them? No. Can I Google Meet them? No. Can I Skype them? No. What virtual I want you to G.O.? I want you to G.O. physically. I want your physical body there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm scared to go to this. You got to get, that needs to go sometimes real soon too. Hallelujah. Age will not be a limitation. Moses, now this isn't like back in the old days where Noah and all those guys lived 800 and 900. This was past that. This is in ours when normal people, I'd say. Moses began his ministry at 80. That's when he started his ministry, 80 years old. 80 years old, he started it. That's when he went to Pharaoh, okay? His spiritual ministry with God started at 80 years old. Hallelujah. So, basically, none of us have got a ministry yet. We're warming up. I mean, everybody in this room, some of you that are listening might be a few years. If you're in your early 80s, you've just basically started your ministry. Hallelujah. And I'm not being facetious. I mean, age is not going to be a limitation to Joel's army. So I explained some of the what I saw. There must be a transition from the spirit realm to the natural realm. And I think that's what we really have to get out of this message, is this transition. When the two armies were made one and crossed Jordan, they passed, this is important, they passed from a sense-dominated Christian life into a spiritual-dominated life that healed their bodies. It healed their bodies. Now, let me just talk a little bit about the higher realm, because this is important, and we can close it. We can get this done and get out of here at a normal time. Let's talk about the higher dimension, and this is very important, the higher dimension. Now, you can turn here with me, or you can listen. This is in John 3. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. And this is kind of like 101 stuff in a certain sense. I mean, it's like Jane, see the ball, see tag run. And I don't even know why I use that, because there's no Gen Zs or anybody that knows what that is. I mean, nobody knows what tag and Jane is. And that's how they started us out, really, the little books, you know, and that were the big words, C-spot and all that. So, but it's basic 101. So John 3:1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you know, we'd ask with his natural brain, his mind, Nicodemus saith to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? I mean, that's kind of a logical question, but it doesn't make sense. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, which is the natural birth, and of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, your mom and dad gave you your fleshly, physical body, and you could also say they passed down to you the Adamic nature, the flesh nature, your death nature. So that's in two parts. But that which was given to you of the natural was flesh, but that which is birth of the Spirit is Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit come in and he did a work in your spirit man. That's where it took place. The first, this is important. It may sound simple to many of you that understand all these things already. But the first and the higher dimension is that salvation changed your spirit, not your physical bodies. It did not change your physical bodies. But you got to understand the higher before you can cross over and receive everything that's necessary for a Joel's army that is completely healed. The first and higher dimension is that salvation changed your spirit, not your physical bodies. The work was done in the spirit realm, not the physical. But God made a provision for your physical bodies to be healed of all sickness, diseases, injuries, birth defects, and every abnormality known to man. Jesus set this provision in God's economy on an equal plane with the work of salvation in the spirit man. And Gary, I think, referred to this I don't think he read it, but he referred to it, this portion of scripture in Mark chapter 2, and you can turn there if you'd like. Mark chapter 2, looking at verse 1, because this is the example that we can use how that Jesus saw salvation and healing. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch as there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This was the answer to sickness Jesus gave to the palsy. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up your bed and walk." So Jesus put it on an even plane. "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he reversed it and said, "He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them, inasmuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." In the above verses, we see that Jesus recognized that sins forgiven. Now catch this, I may read it a couple times. In the above verses, we see that Jesus recognized that sins forgiven, or salvation, could say it either way, equaled healing for the body. Can we agree with that? Can we see that? It is an equal equation, in that one provided for the other without discrimination. It is equal in the way that God sees the present condition of your spirit is the same way he sees the provisional truth of your body being totally healed and whole. Did we get that? Would you like for me to read it again? It's an equal equation in that one provision for the one provided for the other without any discrimination. It is equal in the way God sees the present condition of your spirit. We see, what is the present condition of our spirit? We're seated with Christ, or in Christ, it says. But if we're in him, we're with him. But we're seated in Christ in heavenly places. That's the present condition of our spirit. There's nothing really that you add. The Spirit can grow in fruit. It can increase in love, joy, peace. And it can grow in that sense. But it's complete. It's complete in righteousness and true holiness. You can't add any more righteousness or true holiness to it. So it is seated with God, in Christ in heavenly places. So it's in a perfect state in that sense of the word. And God sees that. And it's a provisionary truth that God sees your body, the truth of your body being totally healed and whole. He sees that positional truth. Now, listen, and listen quick, carefully, because I don't want you to get mixed up on this. What is not an equal truth is that the natural present condition of your body, if you have infirmities in it, and I don't know hardly anybody, I mean even young people, even athletes have a pulled muscle or a toe that's ingrown. I mean, nobody's got a perfect, come on, somebody's got a chipped tooth or, you know, a cavity or a pimple somewhere. I mean, come on. There's no perfect. So there's a little infirmity in just every single body. But your present tense body does not dictate. It is not the way that God sees your spirit. An infirmed body, in other words, the equation cannot be reversed. It's equal in the sense that your spirit is seated, and that provision of your spirit can positionally heal your body. But if your body is infirmed, which everybody's is, in some, at least some different way, that is not the dictation of how your spirit man is. Sickness or disease does not dictate the condition of the spirit man. Neither does dying. And this is just practical, and everybody would say, I know this, but it just brings to our attention. Neither does dying from cancer disqualify the born-again believer from eternal life. We know that. We just know that. We would all laugh to think that each time our bodies caught a common cold, that we would somehow lose our salvation, right? So it's equal in the sense that the higher order, which is, you were born again, life came to your spirit, and out of that life, God made a provision for your body. But you can't take your body and say the condition of your body dictates how God sees your spirit. You're not judged. Your spirit's not judged out of the infirmities or the non-infirmities. An equal equation is salvation equals healing. That's an equal equation. What's an unequal equation is this: sickness does not equal the loss of salvation. We know that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody straight on that? I hope nobody thinks that, well, I was saved last week. I got a, you know, because any of you that caught COVID, I don't know if you're going to make it. God bless you. Come on. We know. We know this is. There, Romans 8 says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now this is, I like this one, and Pastor Dave loved this one, and so did John G. Lake. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me, everybody say me, that means yourself, me, free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, in other words, the born-again experience, a law kicked in, that law of life, you receive life, you were recreated. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you became, the old was passed away instantaneously. How in the world that happens? That we do not, we can theoretically read, well, it's more than theoretics, we can see it in the Word of God, but how it happens instantaneously that something in existence instantly dies, and something is instantly recreated, and that's the new man, and that's the man, and that in that instant, a law, the law of the Spirit of life, sets us free from the law of sin and death. And Dave would say, death, And I believe you can render this out in the originals. But death is all the cousins, sickness, disease, infirmities, maladies. John G. Lake, that was his go-to scripture. It was his go-to. And I got just a little bit of time, and I think if I just continue to read my notes, I can get everything done. But I've got to read this. He would often say, the law of the spirit of life, that was his kind of go-to of getting people healed and standing and healing for his own body. I copied this down because I went back today and got part of his testimony, just took some excerpts from a long kind of writing that he did. And this is actually in John G. Lake's words, because I've said this before, but these are exact quotes and from something that he wrote as a not as a testimony, but he was actually preaching a message on the law of the spirit of life. And he said these things that were part of his testimony. And I just kind of cut and pasted and put a few paragraphs in here. This is John G. Lake, his own words. That law, the one I just mentioned, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that law operates in the physical as well as the spiritual. Hallelujah. So it's transitional. And that's what we want to see. Because I've said this, I've got this later in my notes, but I got to say it now. I asked God a long time ago, like years ago, and I don't know how to explain this. Some of you might say, well, can't you see it in the Word? No, I can, but I actually want to see it. I want to see, because I know that healing comes out of the spirit realm. That's how it comes. And it has to, Candy used the word that we kind of made famous, or really helped us all, helped me, ooze. And she never heard, I don't think she ever heard him write this, but this is exactly the word he uses, as ooze. It has to come out of the spirit man into the physical body, the spirit realm, the spirit dimension. Now, if you lay hands on the sick and they're non-Christian, it comes through you, through your hands. The Holy Spirit's with you. He's on you, but he ministers. It's all Holy Spirit, but it has to come out of a spirit. And I've said, Lord, I want to see in my spirit how that happens. I want to see it, how it happens. And somebody said, well, don't you see it in the Word? No, I want to see it, how it happens. I want to look and see that spiritual realm coming into the natural realm and healing the bodies. John G. Lake says this, that law operates in the physical as well as the spiritual. A man is in a state of fear. Someone has someone has typhoid fever. They are placating the houses or keeping others from getting in contact with the dreaded disease. Now, fear causes your mind to become subjective. This is his deducing. This is his reasoning. When you're full of fear, this is what he says, when you're full of fear, your pores will absorb everything around you. That is the way people absorb diseases. And he says, I was ministering one time where the bubonic plague was raging. You could not hire people for $1,000 to bury the dead. At such times, the government has to take hold of the situation, but I never took the disease. Now, watch the action of the law of life. And he's talking about Romans 8:2. Faith belongs to the law of life. Faith is the very opposite of fear. Fear has the opposite effect in the spirit and soul and body. Faith causes the spirit of man to become confident. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. It causes the mind of man to become restful and positive. I'll say it again. A positive mind repels disease. A positive mind repels disease. Consequently, the emanation of the spirit destroys disease, germs. Wow, this is a great take on this. And because we were in contact, He's talking about his own personal spirit experience. With the spirit of life, I and a little Dutch fellow with me went out and buried many of the people who had died from the bubonic plague. We went out into the homes and carried them out and dug graves and put them in. Sometimes we would put three or four in one grave. We never took the disease, he said. Why? Because of the knowledge that the law of life in Christ Jesus protects us. That law was working because of the fact that a man, by the action of his will, puts himself purposely in contact with God. Faith takes possession of his heart, and the condition of his nature is changed. Instead of being fearful, he's full of faith. Instead of being absorbent and drawing everything into himself, his spirit repels sickness and disease. The spirit of Christ Jesus flows through the whole being and emanates through his hands, the heart, and from every pore of the body. Now listen, I don't care if you're listening to this, you disagree, that's up to you. The man, the proof was in the pudding. I mean, thousands and thousands of people were healed under his ministry. And if he's wrong, I want some of this wrongness. During that great plague that I mentioned, he says, they sent government ships with supplies and corps of doctors. One of the doctors sent for me and said, "What have you been using to protect yourself?" And our corps has this preventative and that which we use as a protection. But we concluded that if a man could stay on the ground as you have and keep ministering to the sick and burying the dead, you must have a secret. What is it? And I answered, "Brother, that is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I believe that just as long as I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that the spirit is flowing into my soul and my body, that no germ will ever attach itself to me, for the spirit of God will kill it." God, I mean, just a confidence. The church has lost its swag. I mean, that's maybe a world term, but that's the best way. It's lost its confidence. I mean, there's an arrogance I know that can come from the flesh, but there's a swag that comes by the Holy Ghost that says, you know, John G. Lake has said, nah, this ain't going to get me. I know God, and I'm full of God, and Jesus. God just leaks out of me. Germs just like, he's coming. God will kill it, he said. He asked, "Don't you think that you," this guy said, you better use a preventative, our preventative. And I replied, "No. But doctor, I think you would like to experiment with me. If you'll go over to one of these dead people and take the foam that comes out of their lungs after death, then put it under the microscope, you will see massive living germs. You'll find that they are alive until a reasonable time after the man is dead. You can feel my hand with them, and I will keep it under the microscope. And instead of these germs remaining alive, they'll die instantly." They tried it, and they found it was true. They questioned, "What is that?" And I replied, "It is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When a man's spirit and a man's body are filled with the blessed presence of God, it oozes out of their pores of their flesh and kills the germs." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, keep reading. Hallelujah. So, just to illustrate how important it is to understand this higher realm and how that it oozes into our physical realm, and not to get reversed in our process of understanding. You know, I put this in my notes that I had a dilemma years ago in my reasoning, and it wasn't a long lasting. Like, I mean, it was just like one, I think I was driving and I was meditating on this, and it didn't last no time. I mean, because the Lord just took the revelation knowledge that was already in me and said, this is how it is. But Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. So we know that by grace we're saved, and it's faith, that we have to have faith. Okay, so faith accesses, by grace accesses this salvation that we receive when we're born again. So my thoughts were, you know, just for a few moments, and everybody, I think everybody that's thought very much comes to places where their reasoning says, okay, what about this? And you say, uh-oh, wait a minute, what's the answer for that? But I thought to myself, if I got saved by faith and salvation, because then I thought about the other part of the equation about the physical healing, if I got saved by faith and salvation is equal to healing, what if I'm sick? Does that mean I did not have the faith to get saved? You understand? If they're both the same. If they're both the same, because people say, oh, no, it's the same kind of faith. Well, let's just talk about that for just a moment. Salvation, and we just all said a few moments ago, we know that if you're sick, that has nothing to do with your spirit, man. Nothing. Salvation didn't come to your body. It came to your spirit. But what about Jesus equivocating and saying, which is easier to say? So we know that he put it on the same, but understand this, he first mentioned that your sins are forgiven. It's the first thing he mentioned. But listen to this. Salvation took place in the higher realm or dimension. Healing comes out of that higher dimension. The faith for salvation is different in this aspect. Somebody said, no, they're no different. No, it is different in this aspect. And listen, although salvation is the greatest miracle of all, how many would agree salvation is the greatest miracle of all? It really is. Although salvation is the greatest miracle of all, God, this is amazing. It only could happen in this realm, but it was also the genius of God. God made the faith for salvation the simplest form of faith. The simplest form of faith. It requires no proof in the natural realm. It requires no proof in the five physical senses. In other words, being born again requires nothing to do, has nothing to do with your body or the five physical senses. God in his genius, are you enjoying this? Are you listening? Because this will help us allow that ooze to go from the higher dimension. God in his genius, in once again becoming our spiritual father, that's at salvation, left out all the connection to the natural man. None of the five physical senses are involved in the faith for salvation. It's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. If something from the physical realm, the five senses, was required to change in our salvation experience, I don't think anybody could get saved. In other words, okay, healings to the body sometimes will take place. But do you know how many millions of people say, I prayed it and I meant it, but I don't feel nothing? You're not required to feel anything. And if you do feel something, even in your body, it's not coming. He's not witnessing to your body. The witness comes to your spirit. But he left your body completely out of it. Feel it or don't feel it. And the genius of God was it took place in a dark, not spiritually dark, but a way hidden place, disconnected from all the five physical senses. You just only had to have faith that he and believe that he is who he says he is, whether I feel it or not. Jesus, come into my life. Born me again, birth me again. Hallelujah. It's that simple. It's the most profound, but it's the most simple. And God in his genius said, you know what? If I allow the physical to have any part in this, man will mess it up. The physical will mess it up. I've got to keep it in a hidden place, in a place where you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't taste it, you can't feel it. It's got to be just that simple. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Hallelujah. God separated salvation in a dark, hidden, secret place away from the natural man so that the natural man had no way to interfere. It couldn't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, hear it, or taste it, or feel it in the physical body. Faith for the healing of the body is different. Faith for the healing. This is why we say, well, wait a minute. We got saved. Why can't we be healed? Because Jesus said it was all provided for, and it absolutely is. But we got saved. Well, because the faith for the healing is different in this respect. Faith for the healing of the body is different in this respect. Faith for healing, it must pass through the five senses. It must pass through the boundaries of proof. It's got to pass from one, that salvation, oh, that's all in one realm, the higher realm. But when it has to come from that realm into this mortal flesh, it's got to come through all the boundaries of proof, the five physical senses. Therein lies the dilemma. Thank God, Gary mentioned Sunday, he's doing a series on recoding the brain. Awesome. And that's part of this Jordan crossing, is that not only is the carnal man left over there, but we're about to step up and be a conquering army healed in our bodies. But the transition has to come out of the spirit man, the higher order, where the Holy Spirit's at. Because the Holy Spirit is in your body, but he's really in your spirit. The temple, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's in the holies of holies, which is our spirit man. But for him to get out on the law of the spirit of life and ooze, everybody say ooze with me, ooze into that natural realm. He said, man, I tell you what, I know that I'm ordering devils around, but yet I can't hardly get rid of a cold, or I can't. It is working in the spirit realm. You're having an effect. The fight is from the ooze. The ooze gets up against the five physical senses. And the five physical senses of the brain says, how often have you seen this happen? And history, your history, starts being a liar to you. The fight is in the brain. The fight is in the senses. The fight is in the proof and the pudding. But I'm telling you, what I saw was Joel's army come up, and it left the five physical senses, and what was happening in the spirit just kind of went right over into every realm of the natural. Hallelujah. And we became a conquering force. Glory be to God. I hope that excites you, because it sure does excite me. The image of that I recently saw, and I'll just read this and we'll close, was that the army that was passing through Jordan ascending up the bank to the revival was not just coming out of the purging of carnality, but it was a passing through the boundaries of proof necessary for the five physical senses and the natural man in place that totally healed their bodies and made them ready for revival. And I think that's it. Maybe there's a little bit more. Let me turn the page here. Yeah, it sure is. But I've got a couple minutes, and I think I can do it. A great part of this passage is, as Gary said, seeing and saying. Remember how many times? Seeing and saying. Because that helps the oozing. It does. Just like John G. Lake said, it has to ooze. Imagery is paramount. Imagery, seeing it and saying. How many of you want the ooze factor in your life? Hallelujah. Glory to God. This army will begin to live more acquainted. And this I did hear. I remember that this came up in my spirit, and it was very pronounced in this word. This army will begin to live in a more acquainted, I like this, acquainted with the possibilities of the spirit realm than the natural. They'll be more acquainted with the spirit realm than the natural. And I heard, this is what I wrote down, I heard the Lord say this army will become very acquainted with miracles. Very acquainted with miracles. Miracles are, the Holy Spirit, I don't believe, takes exception with this. If he did, I wouldn't say it. But miracles are too extraordinary for us at this point. In other words, we put them like, there's a wow factor on them when they should become ordinary. Not in a take for granted, but like, that's just who I am. It just oozes from me. And right now it's extraordinary, like, oh, wow. We're waiting on our next miracle to take place, and we should be like, this is common. Appreciated, very appreciated, but very common. It happens all the time. Hallelujah. It should be in a normal acquaintance. This army crossed, this is what I saw, closing. The army crossed from a sense ruled to a spirit rule, which allowed the spirit realm to invade the entire natural realm and the healing of the physical bodies of this army. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. 8:30 dead on the dot. If you have something to give tonight as you're leaving, thank you so much for it. Thank you for all of those that are giving online. We appreciate it so much. God bless you. We love you. Father, we bless this body, and we thank you that we are your army, not only coming out of the carnality of the flesh, but also being healed in our physical bodies, and knowing that the higher realm that has been provided for us in the spirit realm brings forth a healing to our bodies, a restoration. And we give all the glory and praise to God. Raise up this army. Raise up this army for your service. And we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah. See you Sunday. Blessings.